أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فهو المهتدى، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أيتها الأخوات، أيها الأخوة، نحييكم بتحية الإسلام، تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you for this introduction. Thank you for this invitation. I'm very happy to be here for many reasons, and I'm not going to list all the reasons why I'm happy to be here, because it's a long relationship, not only with ICNA, but with what is the essence of what we are bearing together. And I'm close to this. It's your message is my message, is the message of Islam, alhamdulillah. So thank you for that, thank you for your words. Also, just before I start, and as you were saying, and what we heard today, social justice and our understanding of social justice from an Islamic viewpoint, and especially also in the States where you live, and this is your country, this is what you have to build for yourself, for your fellow citizens, and for the common future. It's really important for us to understand the essence of our message as Muslims, and in which way we have to be involved with social justice. So let me start with an introduction and just to raise some of the points that are important from our understanding, from our frame of reference as Muslims, but also as American citizens. Let me tell you something. You were referring to my last book, The Quest for Meaning. And what I was trying to do in this book, The Quest for Meaning, is really to develop a philosophy of pluralism and to come with an understanding of some of the topics and some of the essential topics of our time, from the quest for meaning, the universals, equality, women and men, compassion and spirituality. And one of this topic is really this one. It has to do with justice, is the way we are dealing with justice and the way we have to think about it. And I would say that if you read, you know, the different religions and different philosophies and different spiritualities, this is where we have a common concept. We might differ or disagree on some of the dimensions of how do we deal with justice, of course, because every single philosophy or every single religion, we have a specific understanding. But still, with different understandings, we have a common ground, and we have to come to this. Be careful with all these new philosophies talking about postmodern approaches and postmodernists, and they are promoting something which is, oh, there is nothing we can agree. There are as many viewpoints as human beings. It's very dangerous. By coming with a very complicated way of dealing with principles, we are lost. In fact, it might be that this is the purpose of the whole business, is to get us lost. Why not? It's not like this. We have principles, and there are things that we have to understand. And as Muslims, let us come back to the principles in order to know what is our vision. The principles to know our goals. The principles to know our objectives. And in which way we are faithful to the principles in order to change this society for the better. Let us start with this. Because we don't agree, Muslims, on one thing. It might be that here, the great majority of you, because you are here, you agree on something which is the essence of our religion. But I can tell you something that I, while talking to other Muslims and in other settings with other trends, we don't agree on one thing. If you are Muslims and you understand the very meaning of Islam, wherever you are as Muslims, It means for you that you have to change the society for the better, wherever you are. So it means if you think that your presence in the United States of America is just a presence by accident, you haven't understood the divine project for you. The divine project for you is not to be here, to be invisible, or to be shy, or to apologize for being Muslims. It's exactly the opposite. It's to be Muslims in the United States of America to change and to reform the United States of America to be a better society. You're here to contribute to change and to reform this society. So while you are praying five times a day, when you are fasting 1 month a year, when you are praying during the night, is to help you to get the very essence of this message. Change this society for the better. And one of these dimensions is social justice. But we have to be clear on this, is that social justice is not a state of affairs. Just social justice is an ideal. This is what we are trying to reach, social justice. It's an ongoing struggle, a never-ending struggle. We are not going to get social justice. It will never be perfect. So we know that when, for example, we have to struggle against poverty, there is nothing in the Quran and nothing in the prophetic tradition telling you that one day we will not face poverty. No. Our understanding is that it's a challenge. It's something that we have to change. But as to a perfect society where there will be no poor people, it's not our... We are not told that some it will happen someday. No. What we have to do is we are not struggling for the result. We are struggling to reform, and our intention in this... change and do as much as you can, do the best you can to change this society. So we are dealing with something which is a goal which is helping you, us, to change ourselves and to change the society, knowing that in this life nothing perfect is going to happen. Absolute justice is with God. This is for Him. For us is try to do it as much as you can, trying to reach relative justice. But what you can do, you have to do. And this is why, be careful with, I'm always repeating this verse that we are very, very quick to quote as saying, you know, do what you can do. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah is not asking you more than what you can bear. That we know this. But be careful. What you can, you should. And ask yourself when you are coming here, supporting this organization, have you done what you can? Or are you just saying, oh, it's just a verse behind which you hide? Because it's very easy to say, okay, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me. I cannot do more than, I should not do more than I can. But you have to reverse the understanding. Ask yourself, are you doing what you can? Is that the reality? Is this the reality of your involvement in this society? It might be that what is perceived and understood as a very easy verse, in fact, is a very heavy one. Very tough. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, are you pushing as much as you can? Are you doing it? Or are you just trying to find the easiest way to be a Muslim? So, this is something which is the starting point of our discussion, is to think about social justice as an objective, an ongoing struggle. You are not going to end it. You will die trying to change the society without reaching your goal. That's it. So why I'm saying this? Because it's a struggle. The starting point of this struggle is humility. Be humble. But at the same time, be humble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be ambitious with human beings. This is a struggle where we need ambition and humility, humility and ambition. You have to be humble as to the result
ambitious as to the struggle. You know why? Because this is the very meaning of التوكل على الله. التوكل على الله means توكلت على الله, mean whatever he wants is going to happen. If you don't like it, you don't want it. If he wants, it's going to happen. So it means that everything is possible. If the Prophet ﷺ was starting with some of, you know, our mindset or our mentality, he wouldn't have gone to change the world. Why? Because at the beginning they were five, and they were coming to say, okay, we are going to give you whatever you want, but stop. I said, I'm not going to stop. I'm not. You know why? Because you think that I'm working against you. He knows that I'm working for him. So do whatever you want, I'm going to carry on the struggle because it's for him. Put the sun here and the moon here, I'm not going to stop. Your richness, your wealth is nothing compared to his closeness. This is what I want. I want his love. I don't want your money. So this is the second point. What do you want? To be praised by the people because you struggle for justice, and to be loved by God because you respond to his call, which is part of his presence in your life and in our daily life. So this is the starting point. The second thing which is important when it comes to this is to understand why we are struggling for social justice. Social justice is an objective, but it's not an end per se. It's just it's but a means to get that peace that we want among people, in ourselves and within our society. Justice is a condition of peace. Justice is a condition of inner peace, to be just with our own self, to be at peace with ourselves. And to be just in the society to get social peace. No social peace without social justice. So it's a means at the same time. And you have to get this as something which is important. And this is why, you know, the previous scholars, when they were coming to extracting from the texts the objectives, what we call in maqasid, they came with, you know, the five or the six principles that we know, and this is repeated. But there is something which is, why do we go for this beyond our religious community? Because we heard reading the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, we dignified human beings, not only Muslims, not only believers, human beings. And start with this, when sometimes you go outside, you see people, they are acting against their own dignity. You see this, when someone is drunk, you can see, because you are losing your lucidity, you are losing your mind, you act against your own dignity. But me, in the name of God, I look at your dignity beyond the way you are behaving against it. Your dignity is stronger than your behavior. So it might be that you can see the sign of God in your being while your acting is against your being. And this is why you are serving the being sometimes against the behaving, the way they behave. So this is why we should go beyond the judgment. Sometimes you have to understand that we respect the beings while you disagree with the way the people behave. Why are we doing this? You know why? Because sometimes in our struggle for the beings and the dignity of the being, by respecting the beings, the people are going to change the way they behave. I might act against my dignity, but if you look at me, the dignity of my being, you might remind me of something which is beyond me, and I will come back. If you show that you love me, whatever I'm doing, it might result for me to change my way of behaving to come to the dignity of the way you look at my being. And this was the way the Prophet ﷺ was doing. This is pedagogy. This is, I look at you beyond what you are doing, and because you see that I'm looking at you and I respect your being, you change the way you are. And this is why the Muslims in this society should be very instrumental by doing this. stop judging and start acting by respecting the people. So to look beyond what the people are doing, and then to understand that three dimensions are important. Dignity, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي Adam, as I said. The second thing, which is equality, it's very important. The starting point of the Tawheed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the first revelation, saying, I'm the only God, there is only one God. Saying what to all the people? There is only one humanity. And this humanity is وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, means before God you are all equal, black and white, rich and poor. And the symbol of this is the pilgrimage. The pilgrimage is you are black, you are white, you are rich, you are poor. At the end of the day, at the center, you are all equal. Trace the same just to remind yourself the equality which is the basis of Islam. There is no one humanity if there is no equality before God. So the oneness of God, التوحيد, لا إله إلا الله, means the unity and the equality among human beings. And this is the starting point of القرابة, dignity and equality. I want you to treat me the same way as you are treating people. And this is something which is so important. So important. Even, you know, you remember how Ali Karram Allah Wajha was asking the judge, don't use the title when you call me and no title for this guy you are calling him. If you call him without title, you call me without title. Not like we know today, Muslims, we like titles. Ya Professor, Ya Doctor, Ya Sheikh, Ya Allama. And we have a lot of... And the one who is just near to you, you forget that at the end of the day, there is no title before God. Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling Professor Tariq? No, it's Tariq. And the only thing is you are brother and sister, and this is the only title which is known in the Quran. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. This is the title which is the most important. And إِخْوَى means... Al-Ukhuwa means Al-Mu'akha, what the Prophet ﷺ did when they arrived in Medina. You are the brother of this one. And this is equality, and this is love, and this is mutual support. This is the community. It's not a community of titles, it's a community of feeling and equality. A community of dignity, of mutual respect. So these are the three dimensions which are important. So the first, this is the second one. The third one, which is very important for us, and never forget that, when you come to speak about social justice in the United States of America and in any society, it's not only about equality, it's not only about dignity, it's something which is important, it's about well-being. Don't forget this dimension in the way we deal about social justice. Because very often we come about social justice and speak about equality, money, poverty. It's not only this. You can be rich and feeling bad. And you are in a society when it is said, according to the survey, that three people out of four, they need to find someone they pay to be heard. How do you call that? When I have to give you money to be heard, because I have something to tell you. My heart is not at peace. There is inner injustice. There is something which is not going right. Lack of well-being. Give me all the money you want, but at the end, if I don't feel good, there is something which is missing. And for us, this dimension of well-being, it's critical, it's crucial in the way we deal with social justice as Muslims. Don't forget this dimension. Because if we speak about social justice, we also speak about, you know, feeling and love and spirituality, which is so important. And I will come to this. And by the way, at the end of the day, how is it going to be for a nafs, for the human being, will have been just with his own self or her own self? how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling him or her,
يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ,
you are the twin tranquil, at peace, nafs. What does it mean? You have been just with yourself. This justice with yourself will lead you towards this tranquility, feeling good. So this is what we want in our society. This is what you want in your families, in your house, in at home, among the people within our community, but also within our society. Three dimensions: dignity, equality, well-being. And let me come to what we have to do. Talking about this, it's all good, it's theoretical, it could be nice. But now you live in this country, and as we heard, the numbers, the figures, it's quite alarming. It's worrying what is happening in our society. The problem with the Muslims is that if we come and we ask them to build mosques, they are going to give money. To build a school, we are going to give money. But when it comes to this, wider struggle with Muslims and non-Muslims in the name of our human dignity, in the name of equality, in the name of well-being, in the name of our principles, the Muslims are very, very defensive on that, not really involved in giving the money and understanding that this is a priority of our struggle. What we have to do is really to be the driving force of this reform in this society. So we need to come with a vision, but the vision will come with a better understanding of the society. No vision in the United States of America without understanding your country, without understanding what is happening at the local level and the national level. So you need to have the figures, you need to have a vision, you have to know the priorities and the steps. What is the first? What is the second? What are we going to do to change the situation? So this is where it's important to know your religion and at the same time to know your environment. This is where it's so important for every single Muslim. Now if we come from an Islamic perspective, let me put it that way, because very often you understand the meaning of a collective objective when you come to the individual objective, the inner objective of Islam. Very much you will see very often that there is a mirroring reality between the inner life and the collective social life. And when you come to understanding this, when you have in the Quran, Allahumma zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Oh God, we have been unjust with our own self. And if you don't forgive us and show mercy towards us, we are going to be lost. We are going to lose our way. We have been unjust with our own self. If you come to this, what does it mean? We have been unjust with our own self. We have behaved in a way where it was not just with our own heart, with our own needs. But what do we mean here? When we have this, supplication, invocation coming from the Prophet, peace be upon him, it's different dimension. When does it start? When we are not just with our own self. The starting point for us to be just with our own self is to acknowledge our own needs. And the first one is the basic needs that we have. To eat and to drink is something which has to be given by the society. If a society is not giving this to a human being, it's not protecting his or her dignity. So this is the first thing which is important. But it's natural to have it in mind when we start talking about this. It's about food and eating. But there is something which is important. A second is something which is important. A home, a house, somewhere where you can be protected. This is where you are going to be just with your own self. It's so important in the society that even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about love, he's comparing love to a second. ومن آياته خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها لتسكنوا السكن. This is where you get this protection. You need an intimate sentimental protection, but you need a social protection. You need a house, you need a home, and this is the starting point. Look at what is happening in your country. So many people, they don't even have a home. They are homeless. In the most industrialized societies today, they are homeless. This is not dignity. This is the starting point of acknowledging that something is going wrong in this country, as in the West, in all the societies. And by the way, in the Muslim majority countries, it's exactly the same. The point is that you are here and you have to care about what is happening here. This is the starting point. We have been unjust with our own self. No food for some people, nothing to eat, and then homeless. That's wrong. But that's not only this, which is part of the process. What is said, and in which way we have to understand to be just with your own self? To be just with your mind means that you have to be educated. Education is a right. Education is a right. No human being, no spirituality without education, because spirituality is all about education. You become a spiritual man or a spiritual woman with and through education. This is something which is a basic right. If you look at what we are doing with our own self, you are not respecting your mind if you are not educating your intelligence, if you don't get knowledge. Knowledge is a right, and it's a necessity, it's even an obligation for us. Talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim wa muslima, that asking and seeking knowledge is an obligation for every single man, every single woman. So education is a dimension which is important. It's not only this. It's not enough for me to eat and to drink. It's not enough for me to have a home. It's not even for me enough to get knowledge and education. There is something which is important. If you want to build a society, you need something which is essential in this society, is human brotherhood. And this happened in Medina. Don't miss that point. That if we want to be just in a society, there is something which has to do with brotherhood, solidarity and love. And we need to connect social justice with love within the society, mutual respect, and this dimension which is so important in brotherhood. And brotherhood is about this. Brotherhood is not only to support your brother or your sister when something is going wrong. It's to be there, just to help the people to feel that they are part of a community. So this dimension is very important. We don't get the very essence of what happened in Medina, the Medinian experience, if we don't start with Al-Mu'akhara, which is people who had money in Medina. People who had no money coming from Mecca. The people from Mecca had the spiritual message. The people from Medina, they had the social wealth. And he told them, okay, this is equality now. You will give your knowledge, you will share your money. You will share your knowledge, you will share your money, and this is the way you have a society. It's based on what? An intellectual concern towards justice, a spiritual concern towards brotherhood. Do you have it? Are you sure that you have it? Are you sure that as Muslims, when you speak about brotherhood in the man mu'minun ikhwa, you are not talking only to the people who are around you? That you are coming mainly from Pakistan and Bangladesh, and the best brothers are still the Bangladeshi and the Pakistani, who are more brothers than others. And you go to some Arabs, it's exactly the same. You go to African Americans, it's the same. We have a very narrow understanding of what brotherhood means. While in the 14th century you have an Imam al-Nawawi. Now, 14th century is not a modern interpretation speaking about human brotherhood. Al-ukhuwa al-insaniya. Are you able to look at non-Muslims and think beyond your behavior there's something which is a human brotherhood? That you are coming from the same source, and at the end of the day there is only one God for all of us? That I can look at you beyond your differences in a way which is, I respect who you are and this human brotherhood. Now, I disagree with what you are doing. I don't like what you are doing. I am going even to struggle against the injustices that you are spreading around. But I am respectful of this dignity of human being, which is the essence of human being. This is brotherhood, which is very important for us, and human brotherhood, it's important. Spirituality is part of this. As Muslims living in this country, don't speak about social justice without, you know, why forgetting to speak about the spiritual dimension. And what is spirituality when it comes to social justice? Is meaning. Why are you doing what you are doing? Why are you struggling? Let the people understand that you respect them, but you love the creator of this world. Let them understand that you are doing this because there is a meaning here. There is a driving force. There is light in your heart. And this is what you are trying to do. And it's important not to be shy showing this. This is exactly where, when we struggle for social justice, we should be able to speak about why we are doing this, in which way we are doing it. That we are not here to convert the people, but we are here to serve the people. Because in the name of God, we are here to serve the last one, to serve the poor, to serve the marginalized, to serve the people who are not seen. Because He tells us to look at the people who are not seen by others. This is the meaning of spirituality, and this is why, as Muslims, we should be an added value in this dimension. And then, as I said, it's also to connect all our struggle to a dimension which is not only this obsession of rights, but something which has to do with a deep feeling of love. You know, in the book on the Prophet ﷺ, there is one story which was very important for me when I tried to translate which kind of lessons we can draw out of it. It's the discussion with Lubaba. Lubaba was the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, and when the Prophet ﷺ was to leave Medina, he was to leave him in charge of the city. And once he had a problem with someone. A poor man came and said, "You know, Lubaba wants to take the tree, the fruit tree, that the palm tree, which is, he's saying it's his, but this is the only thing that I have." And Lubaba said, "No, this is mine. Justice, this is mine. But look at this. Be careful. Justice is a condition, is not an end. If you start worshipping justice, you are lost. You worship God, use justice. Justice in our world." And Lubaba, after they checked, Lubaba was right. So he wanted the palm tree again. He wanted back. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, "But give it to him." He said, "No, this is my right." And he was right. And one of the companions was there listening to this discussion. And he said to Lubaba, "Look, I'm going to take to buy from you your palm tree, and I will give you all my trees for that palm tree." He said, "This is trade, that's great. Add to justice benefits." He said, "Yes." And he gave him his tree, and he took the tree and he gave it to the poor man. Which lesson? Lubaba was right. And Lubaba was wrong. Lubaba was right in the name of justice, but as for spirituality, he was wrong. Inna Allah ya'muru bil 'adl wal ihsan. Here was the ihsan. The ihsan is sometimes you have to go beyond justice. Be careful. Justice is not an end per se. It should be a condition and a means. And this is a companion who was so close to the Prophet. I said to him that the Prophet was sad to see him acting like this. And this is the paradox. It's very paradoxical. You know Abu Dharr? Abu Dharr was so strong against injustice. He is known among the companions as someone who was very strong acting against all these corrupt, you know, leaders who were taking money. And then once he asked for leadership. Ya Abu Dharr, innaka da'if wa innaha amanah وَإِنَّا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خِزْيٌ وَنَدَامًا. Look at that. He was against in your situation of counterpower, he was strong. And when he asked for power, what was the reaction of the Prophet ﷺ? Dealing with what? Right? No. Dealing with psychology. Ya Aba Dharr, you are weak. And this is amana. It's deposit. It's something that you have to keep. And in the day of judgment, it could be your destruction. I'm not going to give it to you. You are strong when it comes to oppose. You are weak when it comes to impose. The same man. Get that. Get that, because this is what we need when it comes to understanding Islam. It's not only about right or wrong. It's not about justice. It's about psychology, education, dignity, spirituality, love, brotherhood. It's all that together. All what I'm saying. So we need to come with a deep understanding of our religion, not only with very superficial, oh, Islam is all, it's all about justice. For years I have been repeating when I was asked, what is Islam? Islam is justice. And I wrote this book on the Prophet ﷺ and changed my mind. No, Islam is about peace, and this is only, it's but a condition. But it's a very imperative and necessary condition, multifaceted condition, with all what I'm talking about now. With this dignity, equality, well-being, and then you add to this all these dimensions that are so important when it comes to the basic needs, and also knowledge, education, brotherhood, love, and spirituality. Two things are important, just we have to add that. There is something which is important. You know, when you look at what sometimes happens in jail, when you go and you listen to the people who are in jail, and the gangs, for example. Yesterday I was in Minnesota, and I was talking to a young who coming from the Somali background, and they were telling me about what is happening, the gang culture there. And as you know, African American immigrants, we are all facing this problem. In the States, this is a problem. In Europe now, we are calling, you know, people are scared of Islamization of Europe. Others are scared of Americanization of the suburbs. We have gang and weapons, and it's becoming very worried, very worried. And you sit and you listen to some of what they have to say, and you will see that there is something which is a problem with our youth, young people and within among the youth. It's something which is the lack of communication. To not to be respected and not to be heard in what you have to say in schools, for example. So some are becoming violent, some are going to drugs, some are going to shake this society because they are not heard and respected. Communication is critical. Communication is something which is the starting point of social justice. To give to every single human being the right to be heard in what she or he has to say. And especially in our mosques, in our churches, in our schools, are we doing this? In our family, are you sure, for example, that you give enough space for your kids to be heard, to speak out, to respect you not in silence, but to respect you by being critical? If you think that your kids are respecting you because you are silent, you are dreaming. Or you are foolishing yourself. The true respect towards the parents is to be able to speak your mind and to be respected. With respect and this discussion, this communication is so important. We are in a society of, you know, lots of means of communication and less communication, which is paradoxical. It's the time of Facebook. We communicate. No time to sit and to look at one another, to take time to be heard. It's the time of, you know, being anonymous, while today we need to be perceived. And this is part of social justice. This is something which is so important. Why are you so happy with the Prophet ﷺ? Is that when someone was coming with nothing, just a question, He was here to listen, and the only time he didn't listen to a poor man, an old man coming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, you talk to the rich and you forget the sincere one. He has nothing, he has no name, but he has dignity. Abasa wa tawalla. You know this story. So this is why we have to keep with all this dimension. And come, this is the very essence of Islam. So what do we have to do in the States now? Knowing all this, which is part of our religion. And it's not so easy. It's very complex. It's a comprehensive approach that is needed. We need all this. How do we deal with the basic needs? How do we deal with education? How do we deal with spirituality? How do we deal with dignity? How do we deal with communication? How do we deal with love? How do we deal with brotherhood? How do we deal with the potentiality in this society to achieve something and to be recognized and to be dignified in this society? This is where, with the principles now, you come to the society and to try to translate this into reality. How are we going to do that? Just by sitting here and just saying, oh, Islam is all about justice. We want to see this. And what you were saying about the 60s and the 70s, where the Muslims were, or the people were coming to Islam because it was a driving force, and before that, if you come now and you listen to what Malcolm X was saying, it was all about this. It was, we are not going to keep quiet about injustices. We are not going to accept that. So we are very happy with what he said, not so active to what we have to do now. So let me just end this talk with few things that for me are so important in our society and for you here. Few things that we have to know. In Islam, the thing is, justice is a condition, and we have to understand, and this was the verse that was mentioned here. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّمِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اَعْدِلُهُ وَأَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. So this is a very important starting point, is that you have to stand for justice, for God, in the name of justice, and the hatred of any people should not push you to be unjust. Stay just, remain just. This is closer to God consciousness. So this is something which is important, is our testimony towards God is to be just, and to do something which is important, is to check our feeling and to impose our understanding. Do not let hatred push you to be unjust. So check your feeling and come with justice. Whatever is happening in this society with the people who are spreading around bad messages and negative perception of Islam, don't let this drive you towards something which is not justice. Be very careful. You know, some people, they want you to feel alien to the society. It's a psychological war by adding and adding negative perception of Islam, so you feel, oh, these Americans, they don't like us. You are not here to be liked. You are here to serve. And because you serve, you are going to be respected and liked. You have, it's the other way around. So be careful, there is a psychological war. For the last 10 years and before that, a psychological war. And the psychological war has one objective, to let you feel that you are not part of the society, that you are the other. And you enter the society through the margin. Be careful, you are not in the margin. All what you are saying here is a mainstream discourse with universal values. So you are, and you should feel in the march. And then there is something which is also coming from the text. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّمِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. So this is something which is a self-critical approach, that in the name of justice before God, you have to show a critical stand towards your own self. Your father, your relatives, your the people you love. So once again, check your feeling. And this time, the positive feeling, because you might be unjust because you love the people and you love yourself and you are not imposing justice onto yourself. So one was about hatred, the second is about love. In both situations, you have to check yourself and to come to justice. So this is the starting point of everything, which is, how are you going to understand it? As something which is a spiritual and a religious condition, and then how you are going to implement that. And we all know something which is zakat, and we speak about zakat as a means to implement justice. Because zakat is something which is important for both. It's the spirituality of the rich, and it's the right of the poor. And this is why I'm not, you know, the zakat, the translation is problematic. But there are three dimensions in zakat. There is purification for your wealth. There is a tax you have to, and it's social. It's a purifying social tax. It's not charity. It's not alms as we are translating. It's wrong. Purifying social tax. You have to pay to purify your money in order to get and to help the society towards more justice. Zakat is very important for us. As I said, the spirituality of the rich and the rights of the poor. This is why we have to understand it. حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ It's a haq, it's a right that the poor have in our society. But there is something which is important. You know, wherever you are, you pray. And you pray here in the United States of America, the creator of the earth and the heavens. It's a universal local presence. You pray here at the time of the United States of America, you pray. It's a universal prayer here and now. Zakat is exactly the same. If you understand the very essence of zakat is not to take the money and to send it back to Pakistan. Do this with your sadaqat. But the zakat is for the poor people here. Here. And this is why it's important. تُؤْخَدْ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ لِفُقَرَائِهِمْ It has to be taken for the rich people, for their poor people here. Meaning by this, that wherever you live, you need to know who are the poor people around you. But now to tell me I'm going to take the money and send the money back to Pakistan, no, what you are sending in Pakistan should be the sadaqat. But the zakat, it should be here. It's only for exceptional situations that you send your zakat there. The poor in America, and especially the Muslims, because you have lots of Muslims. And don't tell me, oh, there are not so many poor Muslims in America. Are you blind? And the problem is that if you only look at the people around you, like this evening, of course, not so many poor people, but so many new immigrants. So many brothers and sisters, Pakistani brothers and sisters, African-American brothers and sisters, they are poor and they have a right on your money. Your money is for them first. Now if you have more money to send to Pakistan, if there is no natural catastrophe there, you send sadaqat. But the mandi zakat is here. And this is something which is an imperative of your religion. It's only in the situation of exception that you send the money there. So what does it mean this? When you understand the very meaning of zakat, you understand that you need to know your society. You need to be rooted in America to know who are the poor people around you, because they have a right onto your money. They have this right. And you have this spiritual obligation to give the money to the people here. The fourth dimension of zakat. Zakat is not only I give the money to assist you to be, just to have a better evening or a better festival or Eid. The very essence of zakat is to help the people who are getting the zakat to be autonomous and they pay the zakat themselves. Zakat is a means towards autonomy. It's not a way to keep assistance. And this is why we don't get it. The way we implement zakat and we pay zakat is wrong today. We don't get the philosophy. What we have to do is to take the money and to find projects to help the people to be autonomous. And the Chinese proverb, always when I'm saying this I have to add, it's a Chinese proverb which is Islamic in substance. With some saying, what a Chinese proverb for us Muslims. So it's an Islamic Chinese proverb. I have to put it in that way. Say, don't give to the poor people fish, but teach them how to fish, to be autonomous. It's exactly what we need. Zakat is for that. So if you come with orders, how are you going to implement this in this country? Within the community, how are you going to use Zakat? And if you are working for social justice, you need to find a way to get a better sense. How do we deal with Zakat? And not only this, now how do we deal with this society? And let just come with some of the points that are critical in this society. The first is that there are too many poor people in this country. We were just reading the figures. 46 million people are hungry in this country. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. So we need to have a strategy at the local level. The Muslims, as American citizens, you have to try to do something. It should be within the community, but outside the community. And not only during Ramadan. Ramadan is a school for the next 11 months. It's not that, we want to please the people. We have, you know, in many societies, we have le couscous de l'amitié. It's nice, come and eat with us. We are so nice during Ramadan and absent during the next 11 months. We are transforming Ramadan into, a month between brackets. Which it's exactly the opposite. It's a school to help us to be present the whole year. So this is why we have to come with a strategy when it comes to a jihad against poverty in the United States of America. We did this, and I repeat that, we did this in Mauritius. We launched with Christian, with Buddhist, with Chinese people coming from different backgrounds, a jihad against poverty. Because jihad here has the right meaning. We are struggling the common enemy. The common enemy is poverty. Let us come together. Let them use the concept of jihad with us. Yes, it's a jihad. You know, you have priests in South America speaking about a war against poverty. So this is a struggle. The second thing which is important for us, it's education is important. Education is important when we have a problem. Rawls, the philosopher, was saying, when we deal with the on justice, the very important book, is saying, we have to be very careful. Justice is not to give you the same rights only. It's to deal with the same opportunities. And the same opportunities is not, you have to look at where are the people and where from where they are starting in order to get at a certain level. So opportunities is not only to look to give to everyone the same, is for some of them to give them more because they are starting from far. So it's to adapt what you are giving to give them the same opportunities. And in education it's quite important. I'm sorry to tell you, and you know this, that the American educational system is problematic. It's problematic. You have private schools for the rich and second-class schools for the poor if you're not going to be involved in this. And if the only answer of the Muslims when it comes to schools is, you know what, we have our Islamic schools, it's not going to work. You are going to be living in parallel, in the margin of the society. While 90% of the Muslims and your kids are going to the mainstream school system, they are facing exactly the same problem. So are you waiting for you to have the money to pay and to forget about all the people who don't have money? Or are you going to be involved in anything which has to do with reforming the educational system? Reforming the educational system in having in mind social justice, in which way you are going to promote alternative and creativity. This is why we need teachers. We need people to be involved in this, creative in that field. Education is a key factor of social injustice. And this is where you have to be involved. Racial discrimination. I'm sorry, if you want to deal, you need to be courageous. You need to deal with social justice. We need to deal with racial discrimination. It means that you have to speak about power. You need to speak about power in this country and to say, to challenge the power. But we need to be courageous. It's not because we speak about social justice that we are going to be loved by everyone because it's nice. I'm sorry, I'm seeing now Muslims, they just want to be liked. They just want to please the people. I'm a good Muslim. No, you have to stand up for rights. You have to be able to challenge the power and to say what you are doing is wrong. So when we have racial discrimination in this country, it's still a reality. It's not because you have a president who is now the first African-American president, Barack Obama, that it's over. This is a symbol. It's a symbol hiding the reality of millions of people who are facing racial discriminations. And some of these brothers and sisters in humanity and in Islam, they are facing this and they are forgotten by the Muslims. Because we are facing something. We are not going to change the United States of America when it comes to racial discriminations if we are not going to change it within our community. Face it. Face it. Face the reality of this community within which we are experiencing racism. If you want to change this society for the better, we have to tackle this and to be able to work together. So I would like this organization and any organization to bridge with other organizations coming from African American Muslims to work together and say, it's our struggle with so many people, with converts, with people in jail. This is our job. But Farta de Sheikh Layoti, if you don't have something, you cannot give it. So if you don't have this openness towards racial issues, you are not going to change the country. And once again, I heard so many African-American Muslims, they are not happy with us. They are not happy with their brothers. They feel that they are second-class Muslims. So what are you going to teach to the people? And to these, when we are rich and we are white and not so black, we have this kind of arrogance. We're not going to change anything in this society. And I'm sorry to tell you, if your integration is to be as all the other Americans neglectful about this is not integration. This is dissolution. This is distraction. This is no way. There is no sense in this. This is not the way forward. So, this is where we have to work, the school system, racial discrimination, geographical segregation, we have to work on that. Because sometimes you come to Washington, it's so nice if you don't go to specific areas. Exactly the same in every single city in this country. Social and geographical segregation is important when it comes to social justice. The people are saying, oh, let us live together. Who do you want to live with? Who are these people you are talking about? It's easy here. You are not at risk. But when it comes to segregation in the geographical, can you just get it? Can you get that? That we are putting people coming with the same background in areas where just they are going to have social problems, gangs and violence, and this is our society. We don't want to see it. Have you seen this in our community? We speak about the Medinian experience. Where were the poor with the Prophet ﷺ? Around the mosque. You know this Medinan mosque, the mosque of the Prophet that you are going to visit in Medina? This is where the poor were, in the center. Look at them. This is your community. Now we are accepting that they are far from us. We don't see them. Are you going to accept that? Are you integrated as much as that you are forgetting the reality of social justice? I'm sorry, if there is a meaning in such an organization, is to work against geographical segregation. So this is the fourth field in America which is important. There is another field which is important. Very often the people are speaking about Islam and Muslims segregating and discriminating women. And it's true that in our community there is something which is not going right. But if there is something that we have to do in this society as well, is to be able to see same skills, same competencies, the same salary. There should be no discrimination in the job market. This is also social justice. Let the Muslims be at the forefront of this struggle. To say if you work, the same salary, you have the same competency, if they have the same skills. Why are we on the defensive? We speak about the headscarf if it was only this which is important. The headscarf is a trap. It's an Islamic obligation. No discussion about this. But if you are under the psychological pressure that they are pushing you to speak only about about this, you are falling into a trap. It's a trap. Let us speak about the essential thing, which is, for example, domestic violence. Who is beating the woman? In our community? Yes, but not only in our community. This is a universal disease. Let us come as Muslims in the name of social justice against domestic violence and no discrimination in the job market. Be on the offensive. Be assertive with the Islamic principles, but that showing that you are serious about that. Serious means we mean it. We are doing something about that. So that women, this should be a message for the Muslims. This is why we are an added value in this society. To be an added value is so important for us. And as I said, well-being. You know, the United Nations, they started something which is changing the parameters and the scale on which we assess the development of a society by talking about the human being or the human development index. They're saying the well-being and how do you feel in the society, happiness. We need to come with this, and we need to say social justice is also about this. It's also about this, you know, brotherhood and communication and being able to let the Muslims come with this. Let us come with what we had in the countries of origin about generosity, welcoming the people, sharing, not to be selfish and do. You know, we are colonized the wrong way. We should have colonized the United States of America with generosity, and we are colonized with selfishness and individualism. It's the other way around. We have to change that. So this is where social justice is also about this. It's also about this feeling. It's also about sharing with the people. It's to listen, communication. But we have to change ourselves first. Being able to communicate and to listen. And to understand this, that communication is one dimension of social justice. No communication, no social justice. No people to hear, no social justice. No people to talk, no social justice. This is a dimension which is important. And as it is important also, don't forget that, religious equality. Remember that the President Obama said that in the United States of America, every single religion should have the right to exist and to express itself. Struggle for that. Don't let the people have one freedom for some and another freedom for others. This is social justice as well. Religious equality is important. In fact, it's the only survival of the United States of America. If you accept discrimination on this, it's over. So you have to be at the forefront of this struggle for yourself and for other religions. But to do this, three things. And this is my conclusion. The first one is we have to do it for all. We are serving a society and we want the United States of America to be a better society tomorrow because this is the future of our kids and the kids of our fellow citizens. So it's something which is a vision for Muslims and non-Muslims. You are serving a community, a society. It means also that we have to promote an added value in our citizenship, which is an ethics of citizenship. Ethics of citizenship. We know our duties. We don't only ask and claim our rights. So this is where we have to come with an ethics, which is how do we develop this. And the last thing which is important, all what I have been saying here about social justice, it's really to be able to be a bit courageous. And I'm asking you, and if, you know, I'm here to support this work with this dimension that we have been involved in social justice, there's something that I keep on repeating to the Muslims. We have one problem in the West. One problem. The first is, of course, a lack of knowledge. And we don't know enough about our religion. But I can tell you something. That if we were more courageous, we would come back to knowledge. You know why? Because when you are courageous and you are facing the problem, that you are facing the challenge, you understand the lack of knowledge that you can have and you come back to knowledge. It might be that it's because there is a lack of courage that we accept a lack of knowledge. And with more courage, you would come back to knowledge. Because you cannot face the challenges if you don't, you are not equipped. وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. And intellectual strength is very important. So I would say to the Muslims here, ask yourself, if you are doing what you can, and if you have the necessary courage just to face these challenges and to be able to do the work. So this is an Islamic understanding in a specific environment, which is your environment as American citizens, and this is where you should be, inshallah, an added value. Wallahu a'lam wa a'la wa ahkam, wa salamu alaykum.